Hi, I'm Joe Little with ComeToThePorch.net, and you're listening to Given to Cast.
Eddie Vedder, Jeff Ammon, Stone Gossard, Mike McCready, Matt Cameron, Pearl Jam. You are listening to Given to Cast, an unofficial podcast for all things Pearl Jam. We have a great show for you today, so sit back, relax, and crank it up. Now here's your host, Mario Aguilar.
Hey guys, it's Mario Aguilar again with Given to Cast. It's our latest episode for the week ending August 24th, 2012. And we have another great show for you guys. We're going to have a few songs from the Amsterdam One Night One show that just came out on bootleg from the 10 Club. And we're going to also have the weekend review. And we're also going to have an interview with Joe Little. He's the guy behind ComeToThePorch.net. And if you've seen him on Twitter, he's at ComeToThePorch. And he's got some great information about the two fundraisers he's going to be doing in front of the shows, the Pearl Jam shows in Philadelphia and in Pensacola. So stay tuned for that. But before we start all that, we're going to head on into the weekend review.
Now it's time for the weekend review.
Okay, guys, not all of news in the weekend review. Of course, Pearl Jam will be playing at the Made in America show in Philadelphia coming this coming week, actually Labor Day weekend, and we'll be heading on to the Luna Fest September 21st, I believe, playing that night in Pensacola, Florida. The news on that is that single-day tickets are now available for the Luna Fest, and I believe single-day tickets probably have gone on sale as well. For the Made in America show as well. And in other news, Eddie Vedder and Natalie Maines released Golden State for it's the 19th anniversary, the 1 year anniversary for the release of the West Memphis 3. Of course, the three men who were controversially convicted as teenagers in 1994 for the murder of three young boys. About a year before Jesse Miss Kelly, Charles Baldwin, and Damon Echols gained their freedom. Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam and, of course, Nellie Maines from the Dixie Chicks joined forces on stage at the West Memphis 3 rally in Little Rock, Arkansas. And you can purchase this track from the WM3 Freedom Fund. It's going to benefit them, so you can head on over to the 10club.net to click the link to purchase that download. So that's the weekend review, guys, and we're headed on to the songs of the week.
It's the song of the week.
Okay, guys, it's time for the songs of the week. And of course, like I said, we're going to play some songs from the Amsterdam show, Night One. And we're going to start off with Amongst the Waves and play also Nothing Man. We're going to have the interview with Joe Little, and then we're going to play his favorite song after that. And we'll let you listen to the interview so you can find out what that is. So, you guys, here's your songs of the week.
What used to be your house of cards has turned into a reservoir. Save the tears that were waterfalling. Let's go. tonight, darling. And once outside the undertow, just you and me and nothing more. If not for love, I would be drowning. I've seen it work both ways, but
this is Given to Cast.
Walls divided, there's nothing left to subtract. Some words when spoken, they can't be taken back. Walks on his own, with thoughts he can't tell thinking. The future's above, but in the past he's slow and sinking. Caught a bolt of lightning, cursed the day he let it go. We'll be right back.
Interview with a Fan.
2-1. Okay, guys, it's time for Interview with a Fan, and this week we've got a special guest, Joe Little, and he's helping out with the Made in America Philly show and the Luna Fest and Pensacola pre-party show, and he's involved with these with the Whiskers Foundation. So, Joe, how's it going? How you doing?
Great, Mario. Thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem. Listen, we're going to talk a little bit about those two pre-parties, but first off, why don't you tell everybody about yourself a little bit?
Okay, sure. Well, my name is Joe Little, born and raised in Cleveland, and live here with my wife and two kids. I work for an IT company here in Cleveland called Lake Tech Communication, which is kind of where I get my passion for all the IT and all the technology stuff, which is where I spend a lot of time working on the program, the website as well. I'm the guy behind cometotheporch.net and Come to the Porch on Twitter. That's at Come to the Porch, all one word. It's really been kind of my main passion outside of work and family and all that kind of stuff. And it's been about a year that I've been developing that site, and to date it's got about 500 posts on there with all the every Pearl Jam original song with all the lyrics and live performances of them performing them and all that kind of stuff, the post views and a lot of that kind of thing on there. And I've got lots of folks on Twitter that follow along, and it's been a really great experience dealing with the fans and a lot of support. I really appreciate all the all the support I've gotten from the fans out there too.
It's a really great site. If you guys are interested, you can get on over to givingthecast.net and you can click on the link. It's on the side there, Friends of Giving the Cast. It's a really labor intensive, it seems to be, to do all that stuff, to put all the videos, all the lyrics on there. How long did it take you to do all that?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's kind of a labor of love. You know, it kind of comes and goes as far as, how often I'm posting and everything. But it's kind of amazing how they've made it pretty easy. I use Blogger for the back end of it, and, I try to really find the best YouTube videos and that kind of stuff for Pearl Jam. I link those up with the lyrics and all that kind of thing. So, it's one of the things that kind of you can put as much time as you want into. But I do spend quite a bit of time on there. My wife will certainly tell you that. I spend a lot of time down here in my basement slaving away at that stuff. But I really enjoy it, and I've gotten a great reaction from the fans, and that's what really keeps me.
Well, it's good to know that I'm not the only one that has a wife that is very understanding to my hobbies, so that's great. Next question. So how were you introduced to the music of Pearl Jam for the first time?
Yeah, for me, it wasn't so much, a one-time event. I think that, I always think that people are kind of drawn to the music that was playing when they were in high school and growing up and all that kind of stuff. For me, Pearl Jam was kind of the backdrop for my adolescence, and that certainly carried into my adult life, and it certainly has a lot of other fans as well. What I was always surprised at about 5 years ago, I sat down and actually started looking up lyrics online, and I realized that I've been singing Evenflow really the wrong way in my car for the last 5 years. So that was one of my motivations for posting so many of the lyrics on my website, because it's just there's a lot of poetry in those lyrics, a lot of life lessons, and a lot of stuff that hits home for a lot of people. So I hope that other people are able to share that experience with this band and great work.
Oh yeah. So if you're like me, and I try to as much as I can, living in South Texas is really hard to go to a lot of Pearl Jam shows. But since you're living in a different part of the country, how many shows have you actually got to witness a Pearl Jam live at?
Mario, I get this question in my Twitter account all the time. I'm always embarrassed when I get it, because I kind of put myself out there as this Pearl Jam authority, but the fact is I've only actually been to one show so far.
Oh,
it was a couple years ago here in Cleveland, and I know it's kind of a badge of honor in the Pearl Jam community to have 100 shows under your belt and all those kinds of things. So I'm always very insecure when people ask me how many shows I've been to. I haven't been to very many, and I'm really looking forward to tripling that number here in September alone. So that's going to be really exciting. And, in that one show that I did go to, hearing those guys live, there's just nothing like it. You hear the vulnerability in Ed's voice, and you see that they stay up there on stage for 2.5 hours plus sometimes, and it's really it's just an unbelievable concert experience, and I can't wait to get on the bandwagon.
mean, not, like I said, I haven't had as many as some people have, and we're not blessed as in South Texas to have them down here very often, but when they do come through here, I can tell you I'm pretty much doing the tour in Texas to go do it. So, like, I see how you, I mean, like, I know you're going to have a really good time with these two shows in September. And, me doing this podcast for a while, I've, actually had some people, I met some people that would, I would never have met in, at all if I hadn't been doing this. What's your experiences with, doing the site that you, as long as you've done? Have you had any, Pearl Jam fans come up to you and know who you are?
You know, it's really kind of amazing. Like, you know, just like what you said, you just meet people that you never would have, and, you know, people talk about social media and everybody's got their different opinions and everything, and I've had such a great experience doing it, and I'm in contact with people all over the world through Twitter as a result of the website and those kinds of things. And, you know, it kind of hit home for me one time. I was watching, I think it was one of the extras on Pearl Jam 20 or one of somewhere along the way, I saw Eddie Vedder doing an interview, and he said, you know, what we do is just music. You know, it's just something on the radio. It's just guitars, just drums, and just vocals. And I'm listening to him. I'm like, no, Eddie, it's so much more than that. You know, but then he goes on, and he says, but you know, what's really amazing is the community that has been built up around this band. And that's what really struck me when I first, you know, started doing this site. You know, doing the Pearl Jam fan site is not an original idea. There's lots of other people out there like you and me that are doing this stuff, and, you know, I started looking at a lot of the other sites thinking, you know, I don't know if these other guys are going to see me as competition or what it's going to be or how what the community's like or all that kind of stuff. And what I found is these guys, you know, they identified you quickly, and then they did everything they could to help you to grow your site and to grow your community, and it's really building a team, building experience. You know, I mean, I always think of Pearl Jam Online, you know, PearlJamOnline.it, that's Luca over in Italy, and he's got a big Twitter following, and he's great. And, you know, Joanna over at Jeff and Beth's Army, she's always got an encouraging word. And, you know, I just talked to the guys over at Grummy.net, and, you know, you start to meet all these guys, and of course you, Mario, you know, it's great to meet people like that. They're always willing to help you. And then, you know, I really, when I started planning these fundraiser parties for Wishlist, that's when I really started to kind of see, you know, fans' true colors start.
And that's true. So let's talk about this, the wish list, pre-parties that are coming up. How did you get involved to the starting process? How did you get involved with the Wishlist Foundation in doing these pre-parties for the two shows that you're doing?
Yeah, it basically started with me figuring it would be kind of fun to have a beer with a fellow Pearl Jam fan. And, you know, I was kind of thinking, well, I'm going to be at these two parties. I'll get this, you know, big following on Twitter. I'll just start kind of tweeting out, like, you know, hey, if you guys want to get together, you know, I'll be at this bar or whatever. Maybe a person or two will show up, and it'll be, you know, it'll be a cool story. And so what I found is that I started quickly getting a lot of responses of people saying, yeah, we're going to be there, and what, you know, what's the plan, and all this kind of stuff. And I started to kind of realize that I had a little bit of a party going on all of a sudden, and it was really encouraging. So I'm like, all right, well, that's kind of cool, you know. And I started thinking, well, you know, it got big enough to where maybe we could, you know, do something positive with this group of people, and, you know, kind of in the spirit of the band, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of funny that really the starting point for me was one time I was on Twitter, I think I hit like 50,000 followers at the time or something, and I tweeted something out, and, you know, of course, in typical Pearl Jam fan fashion, I got a whole bunch of congratulations and way to go and all that kind of stuff. And one of those people was a guy named Craig, and I, for some reason, I just clicked on his profile and I saw that he was an attorney for Anheuser-Busch, and I was like, interesting. So of course I message him. I'm like, so you're a beer lawyer? That's pretty cool. You know? So he shoots back and he's like, yeah, you know, we're actually sponsoring a couple of the Pearl Jam shows here coming up in September. And I'm like, well, you know, which one? And of course it's Billy and Delona, just happens to be the two that, you know, I'm going to be at doing these parties. So, you know, so then I just shamelessly asked him. I said, well, you know, you think Anheuser-Busch might be interested in sponsoring a Pearl Jam fan party and, you know, that kind of thing? He was like, you know, at that point I was just thinking, you know, free beer. I mean, I got it wrong, right? But then he said, well, you know, maybe, but you know, they're not typically into just sponsoring tailgating parties. So why don't you go find a nonprofit to work with or something like that? And that was when the light bulb kind of started going off. And you know, I realized that just a couple weeks before that, it just so happened that I had spoken with Joanna and Jeff and Matt's Army and Laura and Eric over at Wishlist Foundation. And so I started thinking, okay, well, you know, I know these guys do some of these fundraisers and everything, but, you know, I wasn't a part of their group or whatever, so I just kind of reached out and, you know, asked if there was anything do, or if I could, you know, if this could be their party, or, you know, how they wanted to team up. They were great. The people of the Wish List Foundation have just been terrific to work with. They gave me a lot of support. They gave me a lot of guidance. You know, they've got a lot of stuff on their website on how to organize a party and everything, and I got their blessing to have a fundraiser on their behalf. So we're going to raise money at these two events for Pathway Caring Community, which is the beneficiary of the event, and that's you know, they do, they're focused on special services for kids in foster care, especially those who've been abused. They've also got a lot of adoption services, so they, you know, they get they're subsidized by the government, but then they take in donations, and they really make you look the right way. You know, there's just enough, and there's the right way to do things, and these guys really they take these services level and really make a big difference in kids' lives. So I'm really excited to be able to, you know, support them in that, you know, in their efforts.
That's so good. And these are, why don't you just go ahead and just talk about the specifics about the events. We start off with the Made in America pre-party and tell everybody where and when and all the specifics about that one.
Sure. You don't have to memorize it out there, guys. It's right at the very top of my website, too, which is comefortheporch.net. The one for Philly is going to be on Sunday, September 2nd, at 1 p.m. and at the public house. The drawing from the raffle and everything will be at about 3 p.m. They finally announced that, for example, we'll be playing on Sunday, so we know that for sure. So we're going to do it nice and early so we can get out of there. It's the festival, so we're all going to be working our way up to the front divider there, so I want to make sure that everybody's got enough time to do that. Feel free to come early and have lunch. They're doing, they do have a full menu there and all that kind of stuff as well. So I hope to see everybody there. We've got a lot of fun stuff planned for that one. I think we're gonna pack that bar. The bar manager down there has been great to work with, and he's put a big push in. And I've got a lot of responses from people saying they're going to be there. We've got a photographer's going to be there taking portraits of people with their favorite Pearl Jam lyrics. I'm working with a really cool artist who is coming up with posters for both events. We actually got the Philadelphia Eagles and the Phillies both donated autographs. Merchandise for the fundraisers, so we got some pretty cool stuff happening.
That is great. And so the Luna Fest, you're going to do it again down there. Talk a little bit about that specific stuff there.
Sure. The Luna Fest was a little bit more of a challenge because Pearl Jam is playing the first night of the three-day festival, so they're playing on Friday night. We're going to have kind of an informal after party right after the show over at Flounders, which is actually just right across the parking lot. But that's just for people to kind of get together and hang out. I know a lot of the fans are actually heading right up to Atlanta to follow them for the next night. But we're going to stick around in Deluna and do the fundraiser on Saturday at 1 p.m. And that's actually a restaurant there called Crabs. We got them. So it's kind of a funny one. So we're all going to get crabs in Deluna. And the good kind, though. We're going to have lunch up there. That's going to be at 1 o'clock again. And that drawing will be at 3 o'clock as well, so that should give us plenty of time. That venue is actually right on site there, actually inside the festival grounds. So you can literally hear the band from where we're going to have that party, and that's going to be a great time. You're on the beach, and we're really looking forward to that event.
That's going to be so cool. That's cool. I wish I could go out there. It's a little far for me, but I mean, wish you guys total success. I know y'all going to really do really good for the people who need it, the sponsors, the ones you're actually sponsoring to give this money to. It's a really, really good cause. So if you guys are interested in knowing more about it, you can also go to cometotheporch.net. He's got all his information there. Or if you want to and you're lazy like me, you can go to my site, givingtocast.net, where I'll be posting both those links to both of those events. So we're going to get into a little bit more personal things with you, Joe. We're going to go ahead and ask you the top 10 Giving to Cast questions I ask all my interviewees. Are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
These are always been hard for people to decide. I know if you're a real hardcore Pearl Jam fan like me, you don't only have one, but you don't have to stick with one, but we're going to go ahead and just go through these questions. Number one, what's your favorite Pearl Jam song?
Favorite Pearl Jam song is Black. It definitely, like you said, it definitely varies, and it depends on the day that you ask me, but I really stick with that as my answer. I struggled with it so much I even made a page on my site for my top five because I couldn't just do one, and even having five was a struggle. Black is definitely my answer for that one.
That's an awesome song. So So, without a favorite song, you have to have a favorite album. What's your favorite Pearl Jam album?
I'm gonna cop out and say 10 because, you know, I figured you were gonna ask me this and look through all the albums again, and I wish I could give a cooler answer, like, you know, Binaural or No Code or something. But, you know, every time I look back at the lineup on the 10 album, it just, yeah, I mean, you got Even Flow, Alive, Jeremy, Black, Elise, and there's just so many awesome songs on that one that I just can't do all the 10.
That's true. So you told us you've only gone to one show, and I'm assuming you've seen stuff online and heard a lot of bootlegs. Cleveland was standing, and I was standing. What's your favorite Pearl Jam show?
Favorite Pearl Jam show? I say a fellow fan recently sent me a bootleg for Madison Square Garden 2010 Night 2. I think that's currently my favorite show. Just awesome. Starts out the bang. I really enjoyed that one. Obviously, the Royal Hall is always on the list. Toronto 9/11 was great. Eventually, adding Cleveland was certainly great. But right now, I've got MSG 2010 on repeat.
That's cool. This is one of the harder questions people tend to have, and I always get different answers all the time. Who's your favorite Pearl Jam band member?
You know, it's easy to say Eddie Vedder because he's, you know, the front man and everything, but I gotta say, I really have a lot of admiration for Mike McCready. I attempted to play guitar from time to time for the last year or so, and just every time I watch him play a Yola Ledbetter solo or something, it just absolutely blows my mind. And then, you know, on a more personal level, just, you know, his involvement and the charity work that he does for Crohn's and all those kinds of things, I really have a lot of respect for Mike McCready.
I get Mike McCready a lot, and he is well deserved as a favorite. So I know that you are probably going to make a couple of, at least two good memories here coming up in September, but up to now, what is your favorite Pearl Jam memory?
Well, it's certainly going to that show in Cleveland. You know, I went there with my wife, and it was on Mother's Day, and she was pregnant with our second child, and it was pretty special night. So, I mean, that was really, I got to say, that was definitely my favorite memory. It was kind of funny. I remember in that show, Eddie had the crowd say Happy Mother's Day to his mom and Stone's mom, so they both forgot to call their moms. So he was going to use the recording to get out of trouble the next day.
I have that show. I remember that. That was cool.
Well, Joe, I appreciate you taking the time to do this interview. If you guys are interested in a little bit more information about the nonprofit that's going to be benefiting from these two pre-parties, you can head on over to my website where I'll have the link to that. It's Pathway Caring for Children. The website is pathwaycfc.org. They do some great work with foster care, adoption, and services to support healthy families, or also with neglect, abuse, and abandonment. If you are interested in being a foster parent or in being involved with the program, you can volunteer at that website. Again, I'll have links on my page. Joe, I appreciate you taking the time to do this interview.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Mario. I really appreciate that.
So, guys, I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. Again, if you are interested in donating to Joe at the pre-parties, you can head on over to my site or head on over to his, cometotheporch.net, and he's got links in the email where you can send him information about what you plan to donate if you plan to show up and any kind of things. I'm sure he's happy to hear from you. Please look at the site on a regular basis. It has a lot of great information, and it's a great site. And I'd like to thank Joe for taking the time to do the interview, and I hope nothing but success for his free parties here in the next couple of weeks. And so we're going to leave you with the last song. It's Joe's favorite song, Black. It's taken from the Amsterdam Night One show, from like the other two. And we're going to see you guys next time. Thanks a lot, you guys, and God bless. Spread by for me.
nobody more.